not been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've never went before Him for that cleansing power, today could be your lucky day.
Amen.
Today could be the day that God calls you where you are at and saves you from who you used to be. Amen. Today could be the day that you can know true freedom in Christ Jesus. Today could be the day that you could be set free. Amen. And who Jesus sets free from the shackles of sin, they are free indeed through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I need that. I need to be reminded of that. I accepted the Lord a long time ago, but God's still doing it. Amen. His sanctification is reminding of the goodness and the grace of God. And the hope of salvation that I have in Him. Amen. So if you're born again, you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, today is just the time to rebuckle your belt. Amen. It's time to reassure yourself, you know, that you are in Him. And again, if you've never trusted Him, you've never rested in Him, you've never held out and reached out for the healing of your soul by the hem of His garment, today could be the day for you.
Amen.
God has some things for you. Today's title of the message is What God Has in Store for You. Well, we got some good news. We got some good news today. God, He touched my heart this week as I was reading, praying, and the Lord laid on my heart this first part of the sermon that I'm about ready to get into. But before I do that, I need some help from the Holy Spirit. All right? I need some help from God. So let's go to the Lord. Y'all pray for me. All right? I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me. And we'll be like a reciprocating saw. Right? You pull, I'll push. I'll push, you pull. Amen. And we'll wait till God fills us with His Spirit. Amen. So let's go. Even now, Father, we thank You for Your goodness and grace. I thank You, Father, for the indwelling power of God. I thank You, Father, for the covering, the propitiation of Jesus Christ in our life. I thank You, Father, that I'm already seated in the heavenly places with You. I praise You, Lord God, for Your goodness, Your grace, Your righteousness. And I come even now, Father, confessing that I am not who I need to be. Father, I need a special touch from You this morning. Father, I need You. Father, I need You. I don't need my words to be heard, but I need Your message to be proclaimed. Father, I pray that You would move in this congregation and on me. Holy Spirit of God, speak to the church that they can hear what You have to say. And Father, help me to die to myself that I could stay on point. And Lord, I thank You and I praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Paul wrote to the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 9, and this is just the thought that got me going in this direction this week. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Woo! Praise God. Those are good things, right? Listen, church, you don't know what God has for you. But I can tell you it's better what you can think. Your eye has not seen it. You have not seen heaven. You haven't seen the glory of heaven. You have experienced through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit, that there is that glory, that there is that grace, that He wants to give it to you, right? So you know these things, but you haven't heard the angels say it yet, right? You haven't heard the way that Isaiah heard, and the door post of the throne room of God was shaken when they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." When those angels come together and the holiness of God is filling the temple, I haven't heard that yet. But there's coming a day. Amen. There's coming a day. My ears are going to hear that. There's coming a day. My eyes are going to see that. There's coming a day where this corruption will put on incorruption. Praise God. And it is for you. It's for you. God wants you to know it. It hasn't even entered into my heart, although I read it and I study it through the Word of God, and I know it's in there. I still don't get a good grip of it. I don't really understand it yet. Oh, but there's coming a day. Amen. There's coming a day that God is going to move on us. He's going to open us up. And it's not for everybody, right? It's for those that love Him.
Amen.
Now let me ask you this, do you love Him? Amen? Amen. Do you love Him? Because if you love Him, there's a promise for you. But you got to want Him more than you want anything else.
Amen.
Jesus said this, if you do not love Me more than you love your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sisters, your children, and yea, even your own self, if you don't love Me more than that, then you cannot be My student, My disciple. Right. So you got to make up your mind today, who do you love?
Amen.
Who do you love? Do you really love God? Because if you really love God, He's got something for you. And if you don't really love God right now, ask Him to increase your love for Him. And guess what? You'll love Him more by the end of the sermon than what you do right now.
Amen.
Because I know one thing. Although I'm heading that way, I haven't made it yet. I'm looking for perfection. I'm trying to get better. I want to love God more than what I love Him right now. Praise God, I love Him more today than I loved Him last week and last year. I've walked with Him. The more that I walk with Him, the more that I talk with Him, the more that I serve Him, the better He gets. Amen? He just gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Right? He gets gooder. He gets my gooder going, right? And He wants us to know these things to be sure that He has something for you. He has a place for you. Jesus said, if I go to prepare you a place that I will come again. I will come again. And you guys, the church, you're going to be with me.
Thank God.
Amen. We're going to be looking at some of that today. God has things prepared for you. He has things much greater than what you can imagine. And it's for His children. Listen, folks, it's not just in the sweet by and by. Right? It's not just in heaven. He has things for you today.
Amen.
Right now. On this wicked, dark planet, He has light for you.
Right.
And this land full of hatred and distrust, He has love. He has grace. He has mercy for you right now. And He has it not just for you. He put it in you that you could give it to somebody else.
Yes.
Right? You can give it to those Antifa people. You can love them the way that Jesus loved you. He gave it to you for your enemy. It's easy to love your friends. He gave you that love that you could go to somebody who don't love you and love them the way that Jesus loves you. Right? Right? That's why He gave it to you. That's why you have this gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why you have these fruits of God living in you.
Blessed.
Oh, and there is that day still far off somewhere. There is the sweet by and by, but there's an abundant life for today.
That's right.
Right? There's an abundance today of God's love. There's abundance today of God's mercy. There's an abundance today of God's provision for you. Right? All you got to do is love Him.
Amen.
All you got to do is rest in Him, trust in Him, lean into Him, and not in your own understanding, right? Look to Him, and He will provide for you.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Look to Him. He's got it for you. All you got to do is want it bad enough to rest in Him. Remember, it's not by works, lest any man should boast, right? It's God's grace. You can't get saved by doing good, but you can get saved and then be good. Right? You can get gooder, right? My gooder thing's going today. You can get better, right? You can move closer to the Lord. You can be more intimate with Him because He's already paid it all for you.
Yes.
God cannot love you no more than what He loves you already, right? But we can love Him better, right?
Yes.
We can make a step toward Him. If we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. Amen. Submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he will draw nigh. Amen. So looking into those things, it is just not, it's an abundant life for the living in Christ. It is the eternal, it's the inheritance, but it is indeed is the right now still today, as I've said. For those who look by faith into Christ, He is the author and the finisher of their faith. Amen.
Amen.
You didn't come to Jesus on your own. Do you know that? Not one of us. The Bible says that no man has sought the Lord. Not any of us have sought Him. But He saw you.
Yes.
While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were still lost in your sin, while you had no hope of tomorrow, where you had no sight for the blessings of God, you could not wrap your heart and your mind around it. God saw you in the middle of your mess. He saw you in the middle of your addiction. He saw you in the middle of your brokenness. He saw you where you were weeping and calling out. And then God reached down from heaven with His grace, with His mercy, with His kindness, with His love. And He called you by name. Amen. When I was covered, I mean, drenched in sin and self-righteousness, God said, Curtis, I love you. And He did the same thing for you. And you heard it. You heard it. And if you're not, if you haven't heard it yet, let me tell you, He's wanting you to hear it. He's wanting you to hear your name called out by Him. He's wanting you to trust Him more than you trust yourself. He wants you. I want you to want me.
Amen.
As we said, I want you to want me. Right? He wants you to want Him. Oh, and when you want Him, When you desire him, he adds to you so abundantly. He calls you by name. He is that good shepherd, right? We're going to look at it. So you can open your Bibles to John chapter 10. All right. And again, if you've been attending a church or haven't attended a church for some time and they don't tell you to open your Bibles, stop going there.
Amen.
Amen. Go to some place that tells you to open your Bible. Read your Bible.
Amen.
Because that's the words of life. The words of Curtis may sound good from time to time, but they are not the words of life. Jesus has the words of life for you. He has the words of life, love, and abundance of mercy. He has things for you that you cannot even imagine in and of yourself. Are you there in chapter 10? Amen. And Jesus said, don't you love that? Words in red. Jesus said this, verily, verily, meaning truthfully, truthfully, I ain't going to lie to you. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the potter, that means the doorkeeper, porter. The porter, that means the doorkeeper, he openeth. The porter here could be described as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he opens the door for you. He opens your understanding. He enlightens you. He enriches you. He fills you with goodness and grace. His job is to guide you into all truth, right? So the porter, he openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and he leadeth them out. And he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, because they but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now look here real carefully what Jesus is saying here. Verses 1 through 5, Jesus is saying, listen, I am the good shepherd,
amen.
Right? I am the Holy Spirit. He's the one that opens the door to who I am.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit and Jesus, God the Father, remember, they are one, right? They're independent in and of themselves, but they're still the unity of the Trinity. So Jesus is saying, listen, the Holy Spirit opens up your conscience that you can understand, that you can come in. If you try to get in some other way, if you try to climb in by your works, if you try to get in by your own goodness, if you try to fight your way into the gospel, then you are a thief and a robber. You ain't even supposed to be there. Right? Now look at how he describes this. He is that good shepherd, and he goes and the Holy Spirit opens us up, and then Jesus calls us by name. Bless. Says Jim.
Bless him.
Amen. Mary Ann, Lisa, Darren, Don, Donna. Right? He calls you personally by name.
Bless him.
And when you are his, you hear his name. You were saved from the foundation of the earth, right?
Yes.
He knows how to get a hold of
Bless
you. Him. And listen, there's a lot of other sheep that are in that fold that don't hear his call, right? So that's not you. You're just part of the flock of God. And when he calls you, you follow him out,
Amen.
Right? I follow him out from the rest of the world. I no longer worry about the other sheep that are there. Not that I don't have compassion for them, but Jesus called me by name. And he opened the door that I could accept him as my Lord and Savior. And then he calls me from who I used to be. And he says, follow me. Right? That's how he called the disciples, right? He said, Peter, follow me. Peter dropped his net and he followed him. Right? John, follow me. He dropped his net and he followed him. He called the disciples each individually by their name and said, follow me. And they stopped what they were doing. They left the old life and they walked into the newness of life. When Jesus calls your name, though you're in the flock of the world, he calls you out by name. He says, I know you. I love you. I died for you. I rose again from the grave to bring you out of darkness, out of the old way, and into the newness of life. Follow me. Amen. He is that good shepherd. He loves you. He loves you so much. He gave all for you, right? Jesus goes on in verse 7. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All right? The potter opened it. He's the door. That's how we get in. And all that came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Whose voice have you been listening to? All right. As I was reading this and calculating this in my mind, and I was looking at the world scene today, there's so many people following so many different voices.
That's right.
Mask up. Forsake the assembly. Don't go to your elderly loved ones and love them because the government tells you not to. All right? Whose voice? What does Jesus say against all those things? He says, love them. Jesus never ran away from a leper. You know that?
No.
Now, a leper was a true problem in Jesus' day. What did Jesus do? He opened his arms and he wrapped them up. He surrounded them with his goodness and grace. He loved them. He healed them. He touched them. He had compassion for them. He didn't shun them. He didn't say, stay away. Block them out of your life. He said, bring them in. Love them. Move on them. Right? In church, that's what we're supposed to be doing in this day, in this virus time.
Yes.
We're supposed to be loving those people, showing those people grace, giving them what God has given us, fully, openly, abundantly. Because that's what Jesus did for you.
Bless.
Right? That's what he did for you. He is the salvation. And he says, a thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen? More abundant life in Christ Jesus. When you hear his voice and he calls your name and he gets you out of the world, he loves you in the middle of your mess. He says, come to me. All of you, if you're hurting, come to me. I got healing from you. If you're sick, I got something for you. I am the great physician. If you need something, if you're naked, I got clothes for you. If you're destitute, I got something for you. I have an inheritance for you. Right? I got an inheritance for you. I got a place for you. I prepared for you a place. Come unto me. Everybody who hears him can come unto him. He doesn't block it away from anybody. If you hear his voice, it does not matter the sin that you're in. He can cleanse you from that. If God can save this creature, he can save you. Right? If God can move over this sinner and call him righteous, then he can do it for you. If he can move over this person that's trusted him and cleanse him, sanctify him, set him apart, he can do that for you. All he's waiting is for you to answer his voice. He's that door. He is the shepherd. He's calling you. He's saying, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come. Come to me. I have something for you. If you don't come, you can't get it. Right? If you don't come, you can't get it. Mama would call the supper bell at the house, right? Actually, it wasn't a supper bell. She'd stick her head out the trailer and say, I ain't going to holler. I was going to holler. Did you see me stop right there in the power of the Holy Ghost because I was about to scream? She'd call my name in a blood-curdling call, you know? Because I'd be off somewhere playing in the dirt. But I'd hear her call, and you know what I'd do? I'd come. I'd come because I knew that there's something for me. Right, I knew that she had prepared, if nothing else, just a good old-fashioned whipping because I didn't do something I needed. Anyhow, when she called me by my name, I came. And Jesus knows you, and he's calling you by your name. Right? He's standing at the door. He said, come, follow me. Follow me. Psalm 23 gives us a little clue. So if you'll just open up Psalm 23 right there. The psalmist said this. Oh, he said, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
David said, he is my shepherd. Jesus here said, I'm the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the shepherd. I got something for you. He says, I shall not want. Why? Because Jesus is my shepherd. I don't have a care in the world. You know why? Because he's in control. I don't worry about anything that's going on. Why? Because Jesus is my shepherd. He is the door. He has a way for me. He has a way for you. Oh, he brings me. He maketh me lie down. I thank God for that. Who here has kids? Ain't it hard to get them to lay down? Do any of them just lay down on their own free will? That doesn't happen until you're grown up.
When you,
right? When you grow up, when you're a full-grown person, naps are good.
Amen.
I love a nap. I can nap as good as anybody. And so Jesus calls you and he says, I'm going to make you lay down. He's not going to make you lay down on the gravel. He's not going to make you lay down on something rough and uncomfortable. He says, I've got a place prepared for you. I've got a pasture for you. What does a sheep need? A good, can imagine that in your mind right now. Jesus calls you out of a crowded, stinky cell. The pen of life. He says, hey, Ken, come on out. Come on, follow me. Don, follow me. Ryan, follow me. Kelly, follow me. And he calls you by name.
Amen.
He says, follow me because I got something for you. Who here gets caught up in the worries and the wants of this world? Okay? Stop. Because God's got something better. Amen? Yes. Everything that you worry about on this world, when you die, guess where it stays? Right here. Right? Jesus says, I've got a green pasture for you. I've got anybody here ever lay down in a green pasture? Oh, yeah. Spring, imagine spring. Well, spring down south, but spring up here is still frozen on the ground, right? So it's hard to lay down in spring up here. You got to wait till midsummer before the snow goes. Anyhow, you know, I've been in a green pasture, right? Where you sit down, the flowers are smelling, right? The birds are singing everywhere. And he says, I got a babbling brook. Right? Not that little girl you used to know, Babbling Brook.
Put on
bump. Put on bump. I need that every once in a while. But anyhow, it's this soothing place, this calmness, that sweet aroma, the cool of the grass that he's laid down on it. That's what God has for you.
Bless God, yes.
He tells us that he has prepared for us. He makes me lay down in the green pasture. To rest inside of God.
Bless
to rest inside of His love, His grace. Can you just, when you think of the worries of this world, and you think about that pasture of God, doesn't it seem to melt away?
Amen.
You know, the worries of this life, the hurts of this life, the concerns of this life, when you trust in God, He calls your name and He brings you into that place. Bless. All of a sudden, that other stuff don't matter.
No.
You know, the virus doesn't matter. The election doesn't matter. Democrats don't matter. Republicans don't matter. Libertarians don't matter. None of that matters. It's all about Jesus. And I am secure in Him in that space.
Amen.
Right? And He wants us to live in that space.
Amen.
Come to me like little children. Right? And we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. As a little child comes to the parent, and it knows that everything that it needs is found right there. That's what God wants us.
That's right.
He is that good shepherd. Amen. He brings us into that perfect place of rest, that green pasture. Oh, He leads us beside those still waters. Oh, me and the grandkids and the wife, we went to Awaka Creek yesterday. And we got out and we were walking in that water. Oh, it was so nice. Kick off your shoes. We were looking at the crawfish and the little bitty minnows and stuff roaming around there. And it was good. There was some still water there, and it was a little bit warmer than the running water, but it was soothing, right? And God leads us into that still water, the deeper, more refreshing parts of life.
Yes.
And He rests us there.
Amen.
He has a place that we can drink from the water, the fountain of life. We're going to be looking at Revelation 21 here in a minute, where he tells us about the inheritance of God. And so in this is for life right now. This Psalm 21 is for life right now. He leads you to that place of calm, of coolness, of peace, of rest. And He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness. Oh, excuse me, I skipped a part. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Who here needs a soul to be restored today? Amen? I do, because I you get caught up in Facebook, you get caught up in Twitter, you get caught up in all that stuff, you get caught up in CNN or Fox News, you get caught up in just the garbage of this world. Right? Anybody caught in that? Is your soul resting when you're in that garbage? No. There's no peace there. There's no goodness there. There's no righteousness there. God says, listen, if you follow me, if you rest in me, if you trust in me, I'm going to give you an inheritance right now.
Amen.
I'm going to give you, there's an inheritance to come that we'll talk about, Lord willing, but there is right now a rest for your soul. There's right now a peace for yourself. Follow the voice of God into that resting place of God. That Psalm 23 is for you. It's for you right now. But you got to focus on Jesus. You got to focus on the voice. You got to focus on His word and not be caught up in the cesspool of life, right? We're here, but we can, in the midst of your trouble, you can have peace in Jesus Christ. In the midst of your storm, you can have a resting place in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is talking. That's part of the good news He has for us. He says, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Now he, you know, I cannot be righteous without God.
That's right.
I, as good as I get, you can be as moral of a person as you could possibly be, right? You never, you don't smoke, you don't chew, and you don't hang out with those who do, right? And you can be have your own self-righteousness as much as you want, right? But that's not the righteousness of God.
That's right.
You're still going to come short on that day of judgment. See, if you follow Jesus Christ, you lean into Him, you trust His salvation, and He makes you right before the throne
Blessed
of God.
Praise
Amen?
God.
He makes you right. You don't make yourself right. He gives you His righteousness. Praise God for that. That He gave it. He restored my soul. He led me in the path of His righteousness for His name's sake. Not that they'll look at you and say, what a good person. Oh, Marianne, God bless her. She's such a good person. No, she ain't. She ain't. As good as she is, she ain't. She's a sinner just like me, just like you.
Right.
Now, she's better than me, praise God. But anyhow, that's just because she's been at it longer. Right?
Maturity.
Maturity, yeah. She's mature. She's not old. She's mature.
Amen.
Mike is old. No. See, I got you. I got you. And so, but it's for His name's sake. And then he gives us this, no matter what we go through, this next verse right here, no matter how hard, no matter how dark, no matter how wicked it seems, He is with us.
Amen.
He, the shepherd, the good shepherd is with us. For though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't know if y'all looked around lately, but it seems like we're living in the valley of shadow of death. Okay? Don't sweat it. Don't sweat, Buttercup. Man, oh no, that's suck it up. Sorry. Don't sweat it, right? Suck it up, Buttercup. Don't sweat the problems of today. If you are in Christ Jesus, it's okay.
That's right.
Jesus talked about the end times and how they were going to look. That there's going to be persecution raising up against the church that has never been seen. He said it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher, but the tough rest in God. All right, those who are set apart, sanctified by Jesus Christ, those who are His sheep that follow His voice, it's okay.
That's right.
Even though they slay me, yet shall I trust Him. Praise God for that. Yeah. Even though I'm walking through this valley that I'm in right now, it seems like the shadow of death is all over us, is all around us. It's okay.
Amen.
It is okay. Amen. God is in control, and He loves you, right?
Amen.
He will not give you, He will bring you through the trials. He'll bring you through the temptation.
Right.
He won't deliver you out of them. He will protect you as you go through them.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
It's going through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say deliver me out of the valley. He says be with me. I'm in it. It hurts. It stinks down here. There's nothing good but God. Amen. There's nothing good but God. I got that good shepherd. And no matter what the world has to throw at me, no matter what the flood Satan sends, Jesus raises up a standard.
Right.
A standard of righteousness. A standard of hope. He gives us that. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear none of it. No evil.
Amen.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared. The government's going to come take away my gun. Big deal. Take my gun away. That's all right. That's okay. You know why? Because I got a home. I got a place in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right? I ain't going to fight you. You want my gun? Take it.
Yes.
I will die with my Bible, with the sword of God in my hand.
That's right.
I may not die with a gun in my hand.
Right.
You know? And I got guns. I love my guns. I love my Second Amendment. Don't get me wrong. I have a pistol right here. Close. All right, and if somebody comes against you guys, I will stop them. I practice in this church weekly. All right, so just to let you know, from where I stand to the wall over there, I can hit a spot just about the size of an eyeball. Okay, with
praise
my pistol I got right here.
Praise God.
So praise God. Don't worry about it. I got you covered, and I got the best shot in the house.
Got some backup too.
Amen. We got some other men to carry in here, and that's okay. So if anybody comes to hurt you, I got you.
Praise
All right, don't worry about it. God has me and I got you. That's
yes.
You're good
Bless
here.
God.
All right? One day, and they say, Curtis, I'm going to take your guns. They're going to, I'll let them have it. You
right.
know?
Okay.
Because
yeah.
if not, they're going to call in a Stinger missile from 5 miles away and blow my house up anyhow. So
yep.
in the middle of the night. So that stuff doesn't matter. See, I fear no evil. Why? Because God's got my
Amen.
Back. Not only does He have my back, He has my front too.
Yeah.
Right? He got both my sides. Yeah, he's got everything that I need. He is God, and I am not. Though I walk through the valley of shadow, I fear no evil. I don't fear the government, right? I don't fear any of this world's government. I don't fear this stuff. It doesn't bother me.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm in Christ Jesus. His rod and his staff, amen?
Yeah.
Not my rod and my staff. It's his rod, it's his staff. They comfort me, amen? Wow! All right, let's go back just a minute, because I forgot something. For thou art with me. Amen? For thou, God, is with me. I'm his sheep. He's with me. I'm with him. I fear no evil.
Amen.
Well, what is the worst they can do to you? Send me home?
Right.
All right, go ahead, send me home. Guess what? I breathe my last breath here. Guess where I breathe my next? I will exhale here. I'll inhale in the face of God. Amen? In the very presence of the Most High God. Send me home. Praise God. What is the worst you can do to me? You can hurry up the decruption of this flesh.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. So go ahead. What's that, Pat Benatar? Hit me with your best shot. Right, go ahead. Fire away. I don't care. It does not bother me. Why? Because God is with me. His rod, his staff of protection, his rod, his protection, it's with me. I will fear no evil. Amen? Because he's the good shepherd. I need to be a loyal sheep. Right? And it's not bad. It's not bad to be a sheep of God. It's good to be in his flock. It's good to hear his voice. It's good to rest where he has me to rest. It's good that he comforts me. And even as he does that, he's preparing a table in front of my enemies. Those folks who want to do me harm, praise God. I'm going to be eating good meat. Amen? I got the provision of God. He's preparing me a place in front of all the folks who hate God.
That's right.
All the people that were in the flock that God was calling out and they did not answer, all those enemies, the ones who hate you because they hate Christ, the ones who will persecute you because they don't know the Most High God, those people, I'm going to be feasting at a table while they're suffering in hell.
Amen.
And
amen.
I'm not singing glory for that. My heart breaks for them, and I hope they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But Jesus says, I have a place. You have a place. You have a place in Christ Jesus. Right? He's prepared a table in front of your enemies.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And if you can go back like in medieval times, stuff like that, where they'd have those big kingly banquets and stuff, and the king would have all of the people of his kingdom and all the knights and the people that belong to the king's table, they would all be sitting there on these big fine tables, and they got that mutton, just chewing on mutton, right? And they're just enjoying the feast that's set before them. And then comes the enemies of the king in chains, bound up. The enemies of the Most High God. You'll be feasting, and they're going to be dealt with. Which side of the table are you going to be on? Because these promises are for those who love him.
Amen.
Right? So that's what I was talking about. Do you love him? I love him. I want to be on the right side of God.
Amen.
All right? So he sets a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen? At the end of my life, when it's all said and done, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Isn't that good news? Right? Isn't that the good shepherd's got your back? He's going to protect you. He's going to bring you to where you can rest and relax. He's going to feed you with water that's so sweet you can't imagine it. He's going to give you, in the face of your enemies, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to protect you. He's going to guide you. He's going to cover you. And then when you die, you're going to be with him. Actually, when you live, right? Because really, you're passing from death that you are right now to real life. Wow, that's a thought. That this life that you're living right now isn't real. It isn't real like the life you're going to have. God has colors you haven't seen.
Right?
I mean, really and truly, have you ever seen a gate made out of a solid pearl that is so tall you can't set your eyes over it? Right? Foundations of jasper, all those great, and streets made of gold. Have you ever thought that's your inheritance?
That's what God has for you.
Bless him.
Yeah. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
All you got to do is get from here to there. So how are you going to do that?
By following the shepherd.
Amen.
I cannot get there on my own. I don't know the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man goes to the Father but through me, but by me, Jesus said, right? So I ain't going to get there unless I follow him. I'm not going to understand truth unless I hold to the truth that he has. I can't do it without him.
Amen.
He calls you by name. He calls you out of the world. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. He knows the sin that you're in. And he says, I love you anyhow. Follow me. And when you follow me, I'm going to bring you to a place you've never been. Green pastures. Still waters. And when the enemy comes against you, don't sweat the small stuff.
Amen.
Trust God. Move forward.
Right.
Oh, we're so wrapped up in fear today. But what did Paul tell Timothy for the church? 2 Timothy 1:7. We say that a lot right now in this time that we're living in. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Fear no evil. God hasn't given me that spirit. If you're afraid, that ain't from God.
That's right.
If you're worried about this thing, that ain't from God.
That's right.
Because God, he gave, but the power of God, it's love, all right? He gave us not a spirit of fear, but the power of God as love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That love and of a sound mind. What you thinking about? Are you worried about all the breaking windows and people running all over, acting crazy, tearing down statues? You worried about that? Stop. Stop. You worried about wearing a mask? Stop. We were out in the middle of the woods yesterday walking on the trail, and there's I guess it must have been a daughter and a father or something like older folks. So he was older. He, when he saw us, he pulled up his mask, right? And it was just a kerchief, right? Just a little kerchief. I said, don't worry, we're not infectious, right? And he says, well, I guess I should have said worry. I am infectious because I'm going to tell you the truth. But anyhow, and so he held up his little sign. And he said, I have three friends that passed away. And I said, well, they're going to die anyhow. Right? It didn't, they were going to die anyhow. That was the end of their, he got mad and left. I didn't get a chance to finish talking to him. But, see, I have the tact of a porcupine. So, but yeah, they were going, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And that's why I said they're going to die, it's appointed unto man once. And he was walking away fast as he could go. But really, think about that. If you trust God, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Because guess what? Nobody gets out alive.
Amen.
Right?
That's right. Amen.
Everyone's going to die. You know? You say, well, what about the rapture? Well, I don't know how it's going to happen, but your stinking flesh that you're looking at ain't going.
Right.
Right? This corruption has to put on incorruption. So I say that this body is going to die in the real Curtis that you don't see, the one that's sanctified, set apart for the glory of God, the one that's following Jesus Christ. That Curtis, he's going to go out of here, right? But this corpse, this body of death that you see before you, who's going to deliver me from that? Well, I thank God for Jesus Christ, right? This is going to go away, and the real me is going to come out, right? Now, believe it or not, there's a butterfly in here. Y'all see this old ugly caterpillar eating grass and stuff? That's not the real me. There's a different me on the inside. Much better. Much better. And I'm gonna cast off this old corpse someday.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm gonna forever be with the Lord, as the psalmist said here. This is for you, this good shepherd is for you today. That's what we've been talking about. This our good shepherd, he gives us the green pasture, he gives us the still water, he delivers us from fear, he gives us an anointing.
Yes, he does.
Wow, he gives you an anointing.
Yes.
That the psalmist said, he anoints my head with oil.
Yeah.
Now, we have a little jug of anointing oil down here, right? Right, and I got some right here, and but it's just olive oil. Don't think it's something special. But anyhow, this anointing that he talks about, this is a special anointing. God the Father, the Shepherd of all, says, "I want to anoint you." Now think about this: in the Old Testament, when they anointed somebody, did they do it like we do? A little spot of oil on your forehead. And that's how we anoint, you know, because we're very civilized in the way we do things, right? But the anointing back then, they would take an ephor of oil. That's a lot. It's like a quart or a pint. It's a bunch. It's more than you want, you know. And they poured it over their heads where it dripped down their beards. Aaron said that they poured it over his head and dripped down his beard. Who would like a gallon of olive oil dumped on their head? All right? Personally, not looking forward to that. But you know what I am looking for? The Holy Spirit to dump on me.
Amen.
Until it runs over
Amen.
My body.
Amen.
Until it drips from my... I don't have a beard today, but when it drips from my beard, when the essence of God covers me.
Yes, amen.
And I can't wash it off. You ever try to wash oil off of yourself? Mm-hmm. It's hard to do, mm-hmm. right? Because it just lasts for a long time. Now, when that anointing happens, when the Father comes and he dumps the Holy Spirit on top
yes.
of you. I don't watch sports, but I know at the end of some college games, they take the Gatorade jug and they dump it on the fella. That's what it's like. All right? So you got the Gatorade jug filled with the Holy Spirit, and there the angels and Jesus is coming behind me. He's going, dump that thing on you. Woo! Praise God. I want that.
Amen.
Right? I could do without the gallon of olive oil, but, you know, that is what I'm looking for.
Yes.
When God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Jesus, our Peter, puts it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope. What kind of hope? A living hope. It's a hope that you can have today through Christ Jesus. He's the shepherd. All right, the living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. This is verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away and is reserved in heaven for you. For you, man. For you. You have an inheritance incorruptible. Can't be messed up.
Amen.
All right, can't be messed up. Moth cannot eat it. Corruption cannot get to it. It can't be messed with. It's held in heaven for you. Let's open up to Revelation 21. And so in this revelation, we're going to look at this anointing, this thing that God has for us. Verse 1. All right, now what we've seen just before that is the judgment seat of God. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and he delivered hell and death that were in them, and he delivered them up. And he judged every man according to the works. And he takes care of all that stuff, right? And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, right? So this is why I want to make sure that you got your name written in the right book. All right, I want to make sure that you're born again, because if not, it's going to be hot. Right? You're going to be cast. You're going to be cast away from God. So, and if you're not in Him, this promise isn't for you. But if you love Him, this inheritance
Amen.
Is for you.
Amen.
If you don't love Him, the other inheritance is for you. Place of torment, weeping, gnashing of teeth. All right, I want you to know that there's only two ways: it's either in or out.
Right.
There is no middle ground with God.
No.
In fact, Jesus said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I will spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. So make up your mind today who you're going to serve, right?
Amen.
Make up your mind today where you're going to go. Because I can't promise you the next moment, but I can promise you the inheritance, because it's God's word. Amen. So God says, or John saw this, and this is what the inheritance looks like. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Woohoo! Amen. I can't wait for that one. Because this earth stinks. You know, sin came in, and when God made it, he said it was good. That's good. It reminds me of Andy Griffith. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good stuff, right? He said that a lot. That's good. But sin came in and it messed it up.
Yeah.
But there's a new earth. There's a new heaven coming, and it will be good again. I can't wait for that. It will be good. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I can't imagine that either.
No.
Just a big old dirt ball. No sea. There's no water left, right? Just a big old dirt ball rolling around in space. So anyhow, but the new one's not going to have a seat, right? So anyhow, and I saw John, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I've had the opportunity and the to stand as a pastor and watch the bride come down. Now, I've seen a lot of pretty things in this world, but I tell you, a bride adorned for her husband is spectacular. Amen? I mean, all of y'all got married. Your bride was the best. My bride was the best to me. I mean, when I saw her coming down, oh my goodness, I got weak in the knees. And still, when I see her coming at me, I still get weak in the knees. Different reason. So anyhow, John saw this glorious thing coming. It was just like a bride being prepared and coming down. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man." Wait a second. The tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is with mankind. That's part of the inheritance.
Amen.
Right now, we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. But in the regeneration, right? In the newness, the tabernacle of God is going to be with us.
Amen.
Different concept. Right now, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Pretty soon, we're going to be indwelled by God.
Amen.
But it's crazy. Just a little difference there. That the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall dwell with them. Now, we all live with somebody, right? Y'all been living together for a long time, right? Y'all dwell with each other well, or else you would have killed him by now, right? So you dwell with each other good. Now imagine this, dwelling with God for that point to eternity past. Dwelling. What an inheritance to be with the I Am. To be with the one that Moses got the commandment. To be with him. He is our tabernacle. We're with him day and night and night and day. Forever and ever and ever we're with him. And he dwells with us. And we will be his people.
Amen.
No more sin. No more separation. And he's going to tell us the other no mores here in a minute. And God himself shall dwell with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Can you imagine the compassion of the Creator coming to you? And you say, well, my loved one didn't make it to heaven. And I'm so brokenhearted. And he wipes that tear out of your eye.
Thank God.
Praise God for that. Can the compassion of the Most High God touching you. There's no sweeter showing of compassion than wiping a tear out of your loved one's eye. Now imagine God doing that for you. You, Donna, God's going to wipe the tears out of your eyes.
Bless.
Praise God for that. It's a good thing. It's beautiful. Talk about an inheritance. Right? That's part of your inheritance, that he wiped the tears out of your eyes. There will be no more death. Whoa! Praise God! Right? Who here has ever lost somebody dear to them? My daddy died in 1972. My mom died just a couple years ago. Right? Those that hurt, that emptiness, that vacancy in my life, it's there. Right? You've lost husbands, you've lost wives, you've lost kids. There's things in it. But when we're in heaven, when we're in that spot, when we're in the inheritance, no more death.
Amen.
No more. It's gone. It's done away with. There will be no death. Glory to God.
Praise
what an inheritance you have if you follow the shepherd.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Remember, we've got to go back to the shepherd and the sheep. This is for you. This inheritance is for you. All right, and there he'll wipe the tears. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. No more crying. He'll wipe your tear away forever. Forever. No more crying there. Amen. No more death. No more crying. No more sorrows. Justin, when you get there, guess what? New.
Well, around.
Amen? New. Praise God. Praise God. It's going to be new. No more wheelchair. Praise God. You're going to be new. You're not going to have to worry about that. Going to have complete working of your hands. Going to have complete working of your mind. It's going to be made new. Amen? Can't you? Isn't anybody excited over that? I am. Steph, no more hurting in your feet. All right? Praise God. Look up. Praise God. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine the tabernacle of God, you being with God, the Creator, the one who spoke everything into existence every day? All the time. In fact, there will be no more time.
Right?
You're in the everything of God. Right? No more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrows, no more broken hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Because what an inheritance.
Praise.
Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it enough to follow His voice? Do you want it enough to leave this world behind? Do you want it enough to trust Him more than you trust yourself? Do you want it enough to lay down in the green pasture? Do you want it enough to sit by the still waters that He's provided? Do you want it enough to be content today for the promise tomorrow?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You got to want it that bad. You got to want it more than you want life itself. You got to want it more than you want breath.
Yes.
You got to want it more than you want anything on this world. You got to love Him first.
Right.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one God.
Right.
You shall love Him with how much?
All
of your heart. How much? All of your heart, bodies, all. Right? You can't love Him halfway. You can't, Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, we'll feed my sheep. You know that I phileo you. You know, it's a different kind of love. I love you like a brother, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, do you agape? Do you love me enough to lay your life down for me? Do you love me enough to follow me regardless of what the world's offering? Do you love me, Peter, enough to leave your ship, your fishing business, and feed the flock of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you love me that much?
Bless God.
Amen. You got to. You want the inheritance? You got to love Him that much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want it? You got to want it more than you want life itself. You got to want it more than you want your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You got to want, because this is personal for you. See, you can't take your love and give it to your kids. Now, you can love your children, don't get me wrong, but you can't take that love that you have for God and make your kids superior to that. Right? He's got to be first.
Amen.
And foremost. All right? There'll be no more crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that set upon the throne said, behold, I make how many things new?
All.
Amen. And that's cool because in the Greek, the Hebrew, and the American, you know what that means? All. All things. All things.
All things.
All the hurt's gone. All the pain's gone. All the goodness is, all that's left is God in you. Amen. So personal, so deep. That is the promise that God has for you.
Blessed.
Now you got to want it. You gotta love Him first and foremost. You gotta want that more than you want anything else. As bad as I want my sons to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they don't at this point in time. I want them to know that, but before I can do anything for that, I gotta get this right.
That's right.
Right?
That's
I gotta get this vessel, Curtis, right here, this guy. I gotta love God more than I love
Amen.
Them. So
Amen.
Several years ago, I came to the Lord. I said, God, I need you to save them. I want you to save them. He says, do you trust me with them? I said, well, yeah, I trust you with them. He says, then stop chasing them. Let me chase them. God does a much better chasing than I do.
Yeah.
Amen. They can run and hide from me, but they can't run and hide from God. So I took my sons, and I laid them at the foot of the cross.
Right.
I said, all right, Jesus, you're going to have to do it. Nothing I can do about it. So I love them, Father, I love them, but you got to save them.
That's right.
I laid them there and I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every time my sons see me, I talk about Jesus and they hate it.
Right.
Right? But God's got to do that work in their heart. I can't.
That's right.
And they may not ever accept Jesus from me, right? Because before I knew Christ, I was a dog. I didn't do right. Before I was born again, I had those children. I wasn't right before God. I didn't know how to love. there's a lot of garbage in my life.
Right.
And I heard them. And now I represent Christ to them, and all they can remember is the pain.
Right.
God's got to take care of that. I can't. Right? So I lay them at the foot of the cross. I pray for them every day.
Yes.
That they come to know the Lord. But I heard a lot. It's going to take a lot of time for God to work that out of them. He's got to move on.
Amen.
But I trust God. Right? I trust God. See, that trial of our faith, and we'll talk about that this next week. Well, actually, we've got to get to verse 7 here. And the Revelation, verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write these words that are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Woohoo! Praise God. Who's Jesus? Alpha and Omega. Amen. The beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. That still river we talk about in Psalm 23. He's going to give it to you freely. He's going to give it to you freely. He that overcometh. All right? Now catch this. This is very important. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Next week, we're going to talk about overcoming. He that overcometh. Because there's a battle we need to overcome.
That's right.
There's a fight we need to engage in.
Right.
Now, we are already more than victors in Christ Jesus, right? He's already won the victory. But we still got to fight.
Right.
You know, we still got to fight. I need to be an overcomer.
Yes.
I have the notes here. We don't have the time there. Amen? So next week, we'll talk about what it is to be an overcomer in Christ. Right? How do we rest in His victory?
Amen.
Today, every head bowed, shut your eyes. Bow your hands. If anybody has heard the voice of God in their heart today and they want to be saved, raise your hand. All right. So I'm going to take it that nobody, God didn't talk to nobody here today as far as that goes. Now I'm going to ask this. If you are a born again believer in Jesus Christ and you know that there's things that need to be fixed and you want the Holy Spirit to work on it, raise your hand. There's a good reply right there. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for the folks that are your people. Father, I pray for those who want to be led out into the pasture. Father, I want to pray for those who need that drink of the living water, the fountain of life that comes from the very throne room of God. I pray, Father, as you move on these people through the power of the Holy Ghost, as you call them into your righteousness, as you grant them the faith to walk in this world and this time, Father, strengthen them.
Yes.
Lord, as you expose sin in their life, let them know that they are more than victors in you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that. I pray that this week as they go forward from here that you would bless them, that your face would shine upon them, that you would strengthen them in all spiritual blessings, bring them to where they need to be, Father.
Yes.
Help me, Lord God, not to be sucked into the world system. Help them, Father, to be cleansed and purified and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb, Father. Move in us and remind us to love others, Lord Jesus, the way that you have loved us. We thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. I love you guys. Go home.